You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Well, hello and welcome to Just Women Today. This is our weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio, and it's Just Women for the next hour. And today, well, we have a great talking about something which I'm sure most of us love, which is baking. And we're also going to find out more about how we can support a major event happening locally to help in cancer research. And I'll be telling you what it's like to be a wedding registrar. So I'm Alison Florence, and my co-presenter today is Mandy Diley. So hello, Mandy.
Hi, Alison. Hello, yes. And I'm sure, as you said, all of our three guests will be of huge interest to many listeners out there. So if you'd like to join in with any questions or comments, please do email studio@brooklynsradio.co.uk. And of course, we would love to hear from you.
So let's now introduce the first guest today. And this guest will be of interest to lots of people, I'm sure. And it'll make our mouths water by telling us all about Weybridge Cake Off. So welcome to the studio, Jill.
Thanks very much.
Nice to see you. Now, it's back again this year, which means, obviously, that you've had it for several years before, have you?
No, we did it last year for the first time. So this is our second year.
And how did it go last year?
Last year it went very well. Everyone had to register with me, so we had about 45 cakes registered. And on the day, we had 80. So it was,
amazing.
Yeah, it was a really great day. It was lovely to get the community together.
I can't imagine seeing 80 cakes, could you?
Well, tasting them.
It would make me really, really hungry. I did have a look on the website, actually.
Yes, some lovely pictures, aren't they?
Beautiful cakes.
Yeah, amazing, actually.
What sort of cakes were entered then?
Well, we have three categories. So we have a celebration category, which this year is having a theme. So the theme for this year is Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
Lovely.
Then we have a family cake category, and then we have sort of small bakes, so cupcakes, muffins, tray bakes, that sort of thing. So, and two age categories as well. So it's open for children up to 12.
Brilliant.
And then teens to adults.
And what's the most popular category, or is that not the case?
Last year, the family section was the most popular.
Oh, that's really
nice. Which was really nice.
Yeah, so the whole family.
Yeah.
Do they make one cake?
It's just sort of family bake. So
yes,
anybody
yeah.
can enter, and they just bring, you know, a cake that you would have as a family or slightly more special than that maybe. But you
must be amazed at some of the designs.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yes, it was very good.
Because I'm not a cake maker. Are you, Alison? I'm not really very good at baking.
Well, I try to have healthy food, and often cakes, they're sort of renowned for being full of sugar and icing. It's got all this icing sugar in. But I know you can actually use other ingredients now,
which make it
naturally sweet without. So I would try and sort of use something a bit different. And you can actually put a lot of things like vegetables in cakes, which years ago you'd have sort of pulled a face on, but they actually do sweeten it up a bit, don't they?
Yes, they do, actually. Yes, a lot of people use, carrots, obviously, courgettes.
Beetroot.
Absolutely.
Vegan, isn't it?
So they're sort of changing their image a little bit, I think, aren't they? That it's not always thought of as something that you just treated yourself to one day, you know. And
I love baking, but I think baking is an art, isn't it? Because whenever I bake a cake, they don't seem to come out. There's no consistency. I love cooking, but I think that these people that bake, they really do put a lot of.
Yes, I think they do.
Yes.
And I mean, our celebration cakes were, you know, just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Can you remember? I know it was a year ago, but can you remember any of them particularly?
We had one that was a replica of a local bus. We had one that was just based on Weybridge, so lots of scenes of Weybridge on it.
Yeah.
And we had some that, you know, we're just decorated with beautiful flowers and, just all sorts,
some
really.
Some people are so clever, aren't
they? Very clever, yes.
And, of course, with the bake-off being on TV.
Yes.
It's your twist, the cake-off.
Yes.
So whose idea was it then?
Well, we just, you know, we have a market, essentially, and we try to run an event alongside it because it brings people into the town to the market. And we just decided that it is popular. I mean, this area is, you know, apparently big on baking. So we decided that that's what we would, you know, just give it a whirl and see how it went. And because it was so popular last year, we decided we'll do it again.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Do you think it has become more popular because there are so many baking and cooking programmes on the television
these probably, days? I think probably, yes. I think people are more, because of that, more into it. Yes.
I mean, it's amazing how children can actually do cooking and things now.
Yes.
What's the youngest person you've had enter?
last year it must have been about 6 or 8. And in fact, it was a young lady that won our Best in Show.
When you say overall, young lady,
she must have been about 10, I guess.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, she made an amazing cake, and she was chosen by Ruth Langsford, who was one of our judges. She chose the Best in Show cake, and that was the one that won. So,
that's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, good for her. So she might be one of our bakers in the future. We might see her on the television.
Yes, you never know.
Do they actually teach baking in school now for young children or not?
Do they?
I think they do.
Yeah, they do. I think they do. I know they do at senior school, but I'm sure they do it as a...
Yeah, they did in our sons, junior and senior.
Right.
Not regularly,
yes,
but regularly enough to give them a taste for it.
Yes.
So how do you choose who the judges are going to be? Have they got expertise in cakes and making them and things?
Some of them do. We try to keep our judges local. So we had two of the guys from local baking companies. So we've got Chris from Backman's, and we had Jonathan Woodgate from Simply Cakes. So we had those as they were judging the celebration cake category. And then our other judges came from Gemma, who works at or owns the kitchen shop in Weybridge. And then somebody from Waitrose, and this year we've got two people coming from Morrison's, one from the bakery department and the store manager there. So
do they actually have expertise in baking themselves?
Yes, not all of them. I think Gemma does, and definitely Chris and Jonathan, obviously that's their business. So,
and how many judges do you tend to have then?
We had 6. And we've got 6 again this year.
So if they're tasting 80 different cakes, how do they manage to do that?
Well, we allocate 2 judges to each section, so they don't have to taste all 80. So they just taste the ones in their little section.
Have you got people lining up for audition to be a cake taster?
Yes, I think we have a bit of a list.
You might have Alison and I at the end of the queue.
Yes.
So are they actually looking for the taste of the cake, or is it what it looks like?
Because it was both, actually. We give them a scoring sheet. Chris Backman actually does this sometimes professionally as a judge. So he was our chief advisor. So they're tested on taste and the way they look and, you know, how they're presented.
So which is the most important, do you think? Because, I mean, people looking at the winners are only going to see what it looks like. They're not going to know what it tastes like, are they?
So no, they're not.
How does that work exactly?
Well, I mean, they obviously taste them all and they can see them all. So I think, you know, they sort of give marks for each thing, so then the cakes get an overall score.
So when you're actually tasting something, though, do you have to sort of rinse your mouth out after every one? Because you might have a little bit of the previous one when you taste the next one.
Yes. You might. I think that's a good idea.
I think that's a very good idea. Because you sort of think, this tastes really nice, but it could be that the remains of the other one, couldn't
it? Yes, that's very true. Yes, well, they're all provided with water, so
good.
They can do that.
if it was champagne, even better.
Well, yes, that's very true.
So, obviously, each year, this is your second year, but you have a chosen charity.
Yes, we do.
So who is the charity this year?
This year we've chosen Elmridge Community Link, who work with young adults and adults, and they provide sort of recreational classes for those people to go to.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, so they're quite local. They work in Molesey, Walton, Weybridge area.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And they must be very pleased.
Yes, they are very pleased. Yes. So all the cakes that are donated that people don't want to take home with them, we'll sell them, and the proceeds from that will go to the charity.
Oh, great! So if you're not in the tasting, yes, you could actually be in the
go
buying
and buy them.
Afterwards.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how much did you raise last year from the
cake-off? Think we raised about £200-300 last year.
Gosh.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's not bad.
How do you know how much to price them for, though?
Oh, we just priced them. I think it was about £1 a slice or something like that. Mm-hmm. So,
I suppose you don't really mind, A, when it's going to charity, and B,
exactly,
when it's one that's won something, because you want to know what it tastes like,
yes,
don't
exactly.
you?
I think I'd want to buy the whole cake. Do you sell the whole cake?
Yes,
as
yes,
well?
You can yes, buy you the do. Whole cake as well. Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, oh, I definitely have to come along and look at that.
Yeah, no, they were, you know, amazing last year.
People are so proud, aren't they, of their cake making skills?
Yes, yes.
And they should be too, because then it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. Mm. No, and I think sometimes it's nice to sort of, you know, semi fun, semi sort of, you know, serious. To have it sort of judged and
definitely
and potentially win something.
So does everyone have to enrol beforehand, or can you just bring them along on the day?
You can bring them along on the day. It's quite helpful if they're registered with me beforehand, so as we have an idea of how many gazebos, tables, etc. that we need. Yes.
Mm. And how do they get an entry form for it?
All the details are on the website. My email is also on the website. And the entry form is also there, so they can just print that off and bring it on the day.
What's the website? Can you read out the website?
Yes, it's www.allaboutweybridge.co.uk/cakeoff.
Cake-off, right. It's a good idea having a different name to it in a way, isn't it?
Yes, slightly different.
Because it's very similar to Bake-off.
Yes,
but
yes.
It shows it's got its own individuality.
Yes, it has, yes, yes.
So I noticed the lady who won Bake-off, I think it was last year, she said that she actually started baking at 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I just thought that is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
That after all those years.
Yes.
And it must have been an influence from her family, I would have thought. But I can remember when my children were 4 years old, it was quite difficult because you had to have ovens and things like that, and you were frightened you were going to burn them at four years old, because often they don't realise the dangers that are around, or even just a food mix or something if they put their hands in.
Yes, yes.
So
it's great to encourage them. My son, he's nearly 13, he still loves cooking with me.
Yes.
I'm not a great baker, I love cooking, but, you know, it's such a good thing. If this was local to us, I think he'd be down there with a cake in his hand.
And what about these days when you hear so much about people who are allergic to different things in cakes, you know, gluten-free and dairy-free and nut-free and things? Do they have to sort of announce what's going into their cake so that you know whether they're safe to eat?
Yes, they do. There's also on our website, there's a allergy notice. And so on the entry form, they have to write down, you know, what allergens are actually in their cake, so that we know when we come to sell them.
Yeah. So do you get many that have got nuts and flour and stuff
Yes, we do. Yes, yes, obviously we do.
So it's a bit of a risk because people might not realise that, you know, flour has got gluten in or something,
yes,
might they?
Yes,
they might not
yes.
put anything about it. So.
Yeah.
I think that people that aren't severely allergic perhaps won't take the risk at all.
Of buying, no, probably not.
But you know, it has changed, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
We have to be so careful.
Yes,
now.
We do, yes, yes. But there is a place on the entry form to write down what allergens are in it, so...
Yeah. And so how would you mark those on the day if they've got something in them? Do you have a little notice against them or something?
Well, they're just marked the same, obviously. I mean, some people did enter vegan cakes, which was, you know, very good. But yes, they're not marked any differently. It's just making people aware when they come to buy them that they have, you know, maybe gluten or nuts or something in them.
Mm.
That might not be.
So I see that they've got a couple of hours to actually do the tasting and everything, the
yes,
judging.
They do.
Can you actually watch them doing that judging, or is it sort of in a private room somewhere?
No, last year it's all on Monument Green in Weybridge. Last year all the gazebos were open, so everybody could watch them being tasted. We haven't decided this year whether we're going to close it or keep them open.
I think keeping them open is cruelty, isn't it? Watching everyone else tasting cake and you're outside. No,
yes,
I don't.
That's true.
I think it's nice to have it, a bit of transparency, I think.
Mm,
I don't
know
whether that's right or not.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm sure we'll keep them open, actually. And
Also, would they give feedback on cakes at all to anybody? Or is it just on the winners? They say, well, this was nice and it won because... And if someone came up to them and said, oh, what did you think of my cake? Would they be honest and open about that or not?
I think some of the judges were asked last year what they thought. Yes, and they were very happy to comment and give advice as to, you know, what could have been done to have improved it maybe or, yes, or presentation, yes.
So who chose the theme this year then?
It was chosen by Jonathan and Chris Backman. Because that's the category that they will be judging.
I think it's a great category, a great choice, actually.
Yes.
Because there is so much you can do.
Well, yes, it gives a lot of options, I think.
Really?
Yes,
yeah,
lots clever.
Of options, And it opens up the door to a huge amount of creativity, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. Whether that will make it easier or not, I don't know.
And it's quite nice because it's close to Easter as well.
Yes.
So you've got the bunnies and
Yes.
And when they're doing the decorating of the cakes, are they allowed to use things that you can buy commercially to decorate them, or do they have to make the decorations themselves?
I think it's better if they, you know, do it themselves rather than buy things commercially. That sort of defeats the challenge.
But I thought if you saw one that won and it was all with commercial decorations, you think, oh, I know why that one won.
Haven't got rules about that, but I'm sure it would be in the judges' minds that
you think they'd know if it was a professional decoration.
Yes, I would think
you?
So. Yes.
Gosh, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, are you entering at all yourself?
No.
You'd like to.
I should be too busy.
Yes, exactly.
I would like to. But,
I think you'd be really busy. Actually, I think you'll have double the amount because once the word gets out, increases the interest, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So what did Ruth have to say last year? Did she like cakes and things?
She did. I mean, she was absolutely amazing. I mean, she unfortunately had the largest category, so she had our family bakes, and she tasted every single one. And, you know, she was with us from, about 11 in the morning and didn't go home until the end of the day, about 3 o'clock. Mm. She was amazing. Wow. She was really good. That's really got stuck in and...
Yeah.
Yes.
Great choice of person to have, actually.
Yes, she is. And she's local and she shops in Weybridge, so... Yeah. Yes,
she didn't bring Eamon along then to taste them.
No.
That would have been a hoot.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, brilliant.
That's really nice, actually, isn't it, as well? So do many men enter or not?
Yes, we had quite a few men entering. Yes, we did last year, so hopefully we will again this year.
Yeah, because at one time it was thought to be a bit sort of almost puffy to be a baker, wasn't it? When you know, years ago, men never went in the kitchen, let alone made a cake, did they? You know, if my dad had brought out a cake, we would have thought, what, he's made a cake, you know?
Yes.
Whereas now it's quite acceptable, isn't it?
It is, more so these days, yes. I mean, we have so many male bakers.
We do.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Actually, the males were the bakers in the old days, weren't they? They were the ones that there were a lot of male bakers, as in bread out of the ovens.
Yes, yes, that's right.
So I don't know where they disappeared to for a little while.
Exactly. And what about professionals? I mean, would you allow somebody who did it as a job to enter or not?
Yes, it's open to everybody. So, yes.
Because they must have been a bit let down if they do it as a profession. They don't actually win. Mustn't they? Must think, perhaps I better employ this person on my staff who's actually won.
I suppose that's the gamble of any competition, isn't it?
Totally.
Yes, it is. And it's, at the end of the day, down to the judges and what they feel, is the winner.
Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
Exactly. Well, I think we'll just break for our advert break in a moment, and then we'll come back to you for you to give the details of what the website's like and what people have to do. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine.
So
thank
please
you.
Stay with us.
Thank you.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Pizza Express Weybridge has a stylish new look. The transformed restaurant draws inspiration from the nearby Brooklands motor racing circuit and aerodrome. Artwork captures the dynamism of Brooklands, featuring biplanes, cars, stars of the circuit, and the supersonic Concorde. The famous Pizza Express menu is as delicious as ever, with lighter and gluten-free options. For younger pizza lovers, the Piccolo menu is full of tasty choices, including create your own pizza. So get down to Pizza Express, 1 Monument Hill, Weybridge. To book your table, call 01932 829 059 or go online at pizzaexpress.com/Weybridge.
Are you selling? Are you renting? If so, your first step is to talk to the team at V&H Homes. V&H Homes is an award-winning estate agency that covers Ashstead, Fetcham, Leatherhead, Epsom and now Bookham. With experienced and welcoming staff, we are an expanding and market-leading agency that you can trust. Call us today to discuss your property requirements and request a free valuation with no obligation. Or why don't you visit our website at vhhomes.co.uk and see what our customers have to say about us. We know you'll be impressed. V&H Homes is extraordinary. Come and see why.
Has anyone ever recommended your business? Imagine if you had an active group of local business owners all promoting your business to their contacts. B&I works for all professions, from accountants to florists, from solicitors to personal trainers. B&I referral groups work. If you are a business owner in Surrey and you are looking to take on more business, B&I could help you to open doors that would otherwise remain closed. Google B&I Surrey and enter your details to arrange a no-obligation trial visit to your nearest group. B&I Surrey, changing the way Surrey does business.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome back to the programme. And we've been talking so far to Jill Eastwood, who's arranging the Great Weybridge Cake-Off. And we're finally just going to hear some details from Jill about how you register, what you can see on their website. So, Jill, over to you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, anyone who wants to register, if you go to the website, which is www.allaboutweybridge.co.uk/cake-off, and there's an entry form there that you can print off and bring with you on the day, and also register with me. My email address is also there.
Right, yeah. Lovely. Well, good luck with that, and I think hopefully the weather will be lovely, so lots of people will come down.
Hopefully by then.
And be tasting it. Yes, and good luck. Hope it arranges lots of money for
your
charity.
Yes, and you'll hopefully have a really busy market day.
Yes, we will. Yes.
It's also something else, isn't there?
Yes, we have a market also going on, so we've got about 17 stallholders coming down with food and drinks and crafts and all sorts of things. So
sounds like a lovely day out, doesn't it?
Yes,
and
it
the
does.
Date again is?
It's Saturday the 5th of May.
Right, so coming up quite soon then.
Yes, very soon.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining
us. Okay, thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure. Now, our second guest in the programme today is Sarah Parker from Race for Life. And welcome into the studio, Sarah.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, hi Lucy, we'd love to welcome you here. And you're going to talk about, because you're from the Race of Life, aren't you? So, which is a Cancer Research UK, Cancer Research UK annual fundraiser. So we'd love to find out a little bit more about you and how you came to be doing what you're doing now.
Brilliant. So I've worked for Cancer Research now for 2 years. I've always worked in events. I've absolutely loved it. I've always been involved in running in my spare time. It just seemed the ideal place to go. I've always been a supporter of cancer research as well. Both my parents, unfortunately, have had cancer, but both beaten it, which is great. I've always fundraised and enjoyed running. So, it seemed the ideal place to want to work.
So is that what drew you towards this particular charity, personal experiences and the fact that you love running?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
And what other events did you used to organise then a side of this one, which we're going to
also,
talk about.
Also, before this, I was in corporate events, so yeah, conferences and networking.
Ah.
Not quite as fun as this.
Yeah, no, it's... I know, because actually, although, you know, there's such an important reason behind all of this one closing, there is a lot of fun around it.
Oh, there is, there? Yeah. There's such an amazing atmosphere on the day. Yeah. Everyone gets involved, the whole family's come down, and it is emotional. People are there to celebrate families' lives, people that have left, people that are fighting, people that are in remission. It's a massive celebration. It's really a really great day.
Yes, I have done a few events myself, not as a runner, unfortunately. I'm not a runner, but as a walker, and it is such an emotional thing.
Yeah, that's
to
the
do.
Amazing thing as well, is that it's not competitive. Anyone can do it. You can walk it, jog it, run it, absolutely take your own time. It's not timed, so... Yeah,
so what's the event at the moment that you're...
So we've got a few local ones. We've got one in Richmond on the 3rd of June, which is a 5K.
Yeah.
We've got a 5K and a 10K on Epsom Downs on the 24th of June. And then we've got a 5K and a 10K at Kempton Park on the 30th of June.
Wow.
So they're kind of the few that are near.
Yeah,
nearby.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. So you'll have lots of people entering, I'm sure.
Hopefully,
because you usually do, don't you?
Yeah.
And we can talk about that later on, can't we, Alison, how people can enter.
Yeah.
So how many races a year, or is it not just races that you organise? Do you organise other things as well?
So we have Race for Life, that's our core kind of event. And then we've got Pretty Muddy, which is similar. So it's 5K, 9 obstacles, ends with a big slide that you land in a mud pit, which is really great fun. So we've got one in Morden Park on the 9th of September, I believe. And we've also just launched this year Pretty Muddy Kids. So it used to be that it was 13 plus. Now we've got two waves in the morning that under 12s can get involved in. They can do the easier obstacles. It's really good fun,
I bet they like it more than the adults,
don't
they?
Definitely.
I can imagine a lot of adults thinking, oh, I don't want to get my hair dirty, I want to get nails muddy, and yet children, they'd love it, wouldn't they? Really, nice indeed.
They love everything to do with muddy, wet puddles.
And, So where do you get the mud from, if that's not a stupid question?
Not stupid at all, no. It's actually bought in by a company. The people that build our obstacles for us bring all the mud in. We have a big tanker that brings all the water in, and it all gets mixed up on the morning of the event, and then it all gets taken away again. So,
oh my gosh, people literally do bring the mud in. That's amazing.
That is. Yeah. I was going to say, with the weather being as it is, you might not need to bring anyone, and you might be able to just have it now, because it's just awful, isn't it, at the moment?
I like
the
idea.
So much mud.
No, we have, haven't we? Ridiculous. But I like the idea of, is it that the adults race? Is that just the mud at the end, so you don't have to get muddy
on the way round. There's a mud pit that you crawl through,
nets
that you go under, a big A-frame that you climb over.
Oh my goodness.
And then the last obstacle is this big slide that you land in a mud pit at the bottom, which is great fun.
I do like the sound of that does sound good.
I don't think I've done an obstacle race since school, in a way. You never imagine doing it, do you?
No.
Must be good fun for spectators as well then, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Might get a lot of whooping and shouting and cheering and things, don't
you?
Do people know what the obstacles are going to be before they actually enter or not?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think there are some on our social media that you can see like a glimpse of what's going to be. A lot of them are similar to last year with a few little tweaks. So if you have done it before, there'll be changes this year. A few new obstacles are in there as well. So,
So do you ever get people who come along on the day to do it and see what the obstacles are and think, actually, no, I don't think I want to do that or not?
So there are a few people that perhaps if they see the A-frame and they don't like heights and they don't want to go over it, you can just walk around. So if there is anything that you don't fancy doing, you're not made to do it, you're not forced, you can literally just skip that obstacle and go on to the next one.
And going back to the mud, is there anywhere where you can actually clean yourself off afterwards, or do you have to get in the car and go
home? We do have a changing area, but we don't have showers, unfortunately.
I know, I was thinking it's not worth dressing up too much, is it?
No, because you need
event.
To have something that you don't mind getting muddy and wet.
But the other events, you can dress up, I expect,
can't
you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Lots of people come in fancy dress. dress and wear tutus, and yeah, loads of people are in pink.
Yeah, and there's no theme at any of these,
no.
So you can wear whatever you want.
Yes, yeah.
And I suppose a lot of people will pay tribute to somebody, wouldn't they, by what they're wearing?
Yeah. And we send out in when you get your race number, you'll get a sign that you can put on your back, and it says "I'm racing for life for."
Yeah.
And you can fill that in and say who you're doing it for.
Yes, I must admit that when I've seen that in other events that I've done similar, it really does. Mm. It's so emotional.
It is, isn't
and you,
it?
you do feel as if they're running with you.
Yeah,
you do feel as if they're around you. So
yeah.
I think it's such an amazing thing to do. And I do think you're creating a lot of positive energy at that sort of event.
Yeah.
So what's the best part of the job for you then, do you think?
Ooh.
Or are there many aspects?
Definitely delivering the events is definitely the best part, because we work so hard all year round. We do all our marketing, which we're doing at the moment, to try and get people to sign up. And then actually, on the event day, you have to kind of take a minute and actually look around, because you're so busy, just to stop and remind yourself what you're doing and why you're doing it. And being able to see all those women taking part and having a great time just makes it all worth it.
The hard work events, or any event, it's hard to put together, I think. Even if it's an event down the road in a village hall, it takes a lot of time. And I think people forget that, don't they?
Yeah.
Thank goodness for people like yourself that can do it.
It must be very difficult with the weather being so unreliable at the moment, because there's a lot of people are fair weather people
it
and think, well, I'll
do
the race if it's a nice day, but
hopefully,
if it's rainy, I don't think I really want to go out.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, our events start at the end of May, so fingers crossed summer might have arrived by then.
Yes, exactly. You like to think so, don't you?
Yeah, hopefully.
Who'd have thought we'd have had snow in March?
I know. I have seen, we're due for a heat wave at the end of April. Well, 25 degrees, but put it this way, it was on Facebook, so it may not be strictly true.
Well, that might also put people off, saying, it's too hot for me to go running.
Yeah.
You say it's just for women, though, is it?
It is, yeah. But
any reason for that? Because, I mean, lots of people lose their family, don't they, who are men.
So it was started because it was seen as being non-competitive, and a lot of women wouldn't perhaps want to take part if men were, pushing through and wanting to get a best time. Research has just showed that women still do want to do it that way, and that's why it's so popular. But we couldn't do it without men. We do have volunteers that come down on the day to marshal, to hand out medals. So if there are any men that want to come along and get involved, there's certainly definitely ways that you can play your part in it. You can pop onto raceforlife.org and look at all the volunteering roles and sign up on there as well.
Yes, now that's a side, isn't it, that people forget that if they can't be in it for whatever reason, it could be a medical reason, or then they can take part and be a marshal.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can have access to that through the website.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? But, I mean, I read somewhere, I think, that so many people are actually diagnosed with cancer almost every day, aren't they? And it's really sad.
I think at the moment it's around 90. Is it a day in London?
London, 90 people.
Yeah.
It does make you wonder why there's so many. And there's about 200 different types of cancer, aren't there?
Years ago,
cancer was cancer, and that was it. And presume each of these different cancers needs different research on them. You can't say that they're the same one.
Yeah.
So that must make it even harder to get funding, because there's so many different ones to research.
We seem to be able to be finding treatments, so people are living with cancer. And that's fantastic,
definitely,
but we don't seem to be getting to the start of it, do we? Not as much as we should. Am I right? I don't know if that's the case or not.
I mean, there's definitely waves being made, and we are the only charity that are researching into all 200 types.
That's a big job.
And all of the fundraising, you do pay for Race for Life, there is an entry fee, and then all your fundraising goes straight into the work that our amazing scientists, doctors, nurses do. and it's not just women's cancer, it's all 200 that we fund research for.
200. It's a huge job, isn't it? And how does that money... it's not your job to tell me, I suppose, for that, but the money, how do they decide who has what portion of the money that's raised?
No, I don't actually know.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
But thank goodness money is being raised.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness for that.
Do you happen to know if it all goes to the drug companies, or are there some natural research projects that they donate to?
I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, I'm sure if you pop onto our website, Cancer Research, you'd be able to find out more information on that side of things.
Because I think a lot of money goes into medical research, but there's a lot of things, I think, that have been discovered in other parts of the world that are natural things which can actually help cancer. But, of course, they won't do research on that over here because it's too... Well, they're not going to make any money out of it. If you discover that having a turmeric or something is going to help you, you know, you're not going to take the drugs and things, are you? But so you're not really sure about that?
I'm not sure, no, but I'm sure there'll be information on our website if anyone wanted to find out any more information.
You say you lost... Have you lost both your parents?
Or no, my parents... Both had cancer.
Both had
both still
okay.
with me. Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, that's good. So they must be really pleased. Then,
aren't
they?
So pleased. Yeah.
Very proud of you. So did you get involved before they had the cancer, or that was just because of them, really?
It was, so I started fundraising when I was 21, when my mum was diagnosed with bowel cancer, and that was kind of how I started. I wanted to do something to help other people. So yeah, that's how I initially started. And then my dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer last year.
But,
he's doing very well. So.
Well, thank goodness. I mean, both of those types of cancers, from what I believe, are eminently treatable as long as you catch them.
Yeah, as long as you catch them early, you've got a much better chance of survival. So.
But you don't know that when you hear that word. I mean, I'd lost my mum from cancer. Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's very close to, I think, so many people's hearts. But when you hear those words, you don't know. And I think the shock, and you being a 21-year-old, it must have been a very scary time for
you. Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And they must be very proud of you.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes, I'm sure they are. I mean, the corporate world is great, but coming out of the corporate world and working for a charity, that's something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a real passion, isn't it? That's a real passion.
Yeah.
So do you see any other events coming up aside of this? Would you be creating any other types of events other than running and that sort of thing, or do you do that anyway?
So that kind of sits with a different team to us. We've got a product development team that look after new things that are coming out. We've also got an event called Tough 10, which is a 10k trail run, which is a bit more hardcore than they're good fun, but again, that's for men and women. They're good fun. We've got one in Box Hill, we've got one up in Epping Forest, and we've also got Shine, which is our walking night marathon, which is in September, and you can either do the half marathon or the full marathon. Starts in the evening and you walk through the night, which is
that
great fun.
Was there a Shine event from Farnham to Guildford? Was that a Shine, or is that
I don't think so, no. Our one is just in central London. It goes, I think it starts in Southwark Park, goes round all through London.
At night?
All the sights at night time,
See, that's great, because you get to see all the beautiful sights of London, don't you?
See everything lit up, and it's really good event.
Yeah, but great with the events that you run, because of your running background.
Yes.
Do you run in them at all, or...?
I haven't taken part in one in a while, but I probably should.
Yeah, it'd be hard to run and...
Yeah, I'd manage. And...
Yeah, manage and delegate. And you'd have to be an octopus, I think.
Yeah, certainly would. Yeah, definitely. So how much money do you reckon has been raised over the years by these Race for Life?
Ooh, so this year is our 25th year of running Race for Life. We started back in Battersea Park with just one event. And I was told the figure the other day, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's around, I want to say about 800 million in the maybe it's not that high.
We can Google it.
In the last 25 years. But it's a lot.
I can imagine it. If it's been going for 25 years, that's an amazing amount of time.
It is. And do you know if they get more entries now? Because there again, we were talking about the Bake Off recently, there's so much on the television, but you have these races on the television now, don't you, where you see people. Do you think people are encouraged by that?
I hope so, I mean, I think people, I'm always motivated if I go and watch, say, London Marathon or something, to go and do something myself. And I mean, we started with just one event, and now over the UK we've got about 300, so it's certainly grown over the years.
Yes, and I love the fact that you do a 5K and a 10K, because a lot of people can't do any more than just a few K, and they want to be involved, but, you know, it's the thought of the 10K would really put them off.
Yeah,
and I think it's great the way that these events have become much more flexible.
Yeah, and anyone can come and take part, because you can walk it, you can jog it, you can...
Run
it if you want to. There's no
You could go as a family, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Come, mum, bring your kids, dad can hand out medals at the finish line.
Do you know, I do think doing it as a family is such an amazing thing to do. Mm. I have seen them where you've got a few from the family, but actually, you know, I've done an event myself where the whole family went. Aww. And there's something really special about that. So any viewers out there, viewers, listeners, book in as a family.
Pop onto racefor.org and get signed up.
Yeah, that is amazing. So how many people have signed up already, do you know?
Ooh, I don't know off the top of my head, no. A few thousand probably in London, I think.
Really? As many as that? So the one that you're actually telling us about is on Epsom Downs.
So we've got three. So we've got Richmond, Epsom and Kensington Park.
Okay. And how does that work in terms of traffic and things like that? Because obviously if you've got 1,000 people, you can't just have all the roads and things open, especially in these busy areas. Mm-hmm. What happens there?
So for instance, Epsom Downs, it's at the racecourse, so we make use of their car parking. We have stewards to direct, so it shouldn't impact on the traffic too much.
No, but I mean, people running, though, do they have to close the roads?
No, it's not on roads.
Oh, it's not on roads?
No,
okay.
It's on Epsom Downs, so it's all contained within the racecourse.
And is that the same for all of them, then?
Same, yeah. Yep, so Kempton Park, it's within the race course.
So it's like being a horse and you just run round and
do we lay bets? bets, yeah.
You don't have to go over the jumps, hopefully.
No.
You do race course.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, no, that would be, wouldn't it? No, that's brilliant. So do you want to just give us the dates again of the various ones contact details of where they can enrol?
Yeah, so Richmond, we've got an event in Old Deer Park, which is just a 5K. That's on the 3rd of June. Epsom Downs, we've got a 5K and a 10K. That's on the 24th of June. And then at Kempton Park, we've got a 5K and a 10K on the 30th of June. If you pop onto racefor.org, you can put in your postcode and it brings up all the events that are nearby.
Fantastic.
And you can sign up.
Brilliant. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
You know, long may it live in terms of, let's hope that you're always going to need a bit for cancer research, although we do want cancer to be eliminated, really, don't we? But I'm sure you'd find another charity to support. So thank you very much for coming in and good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Now, in the final part of our Just Women programme today, I'm going to be telling you about something else that I do apart from doing the Just Women programme, and that's being a wedding registrar. So I hope you'll be able to stay with us.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Apple devices and IT systems are a crucial part of modern-day businesses. Any business can be seriously disrupted by unexpected IT failure. If you're a business owner and your company needs peace of mind Apple Mac support, please call 07907 795000 or visit www.rafalcookler.com and speak with Rafal, your local Apple certified support professional today. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome back to Just Women. In the final part of our Just Women programme today, we have lovely our very own Alison, who's going to be telling us all about what it's like to be a wedding registrar. So, hello, Alison.
Hello.
Now we're going to be talking to each other.
Yes, that's nice, isn't it? I'm sure we'll find plenty to talk about, won't we?
We will. And I know you're multi-talented. But how did you come about being a wedding registrar?
Well, the really strange thing was that I must have seen an advert asking for people to become what they call sessional registrars, which is just doing weddings. So I don't do births or deaths, and you just fit into a rota. So you're not employed to do a certain number all the time. So you tend to just say what your availability is and work usually at the weekends when there's people not in the office then, so you do them. But occasionally now you get them during the week to do, because a lot of venues, they offer a cheaper rate during the week.
Yes.
So they have to have people who will go and do the ceremonies. And of course, the people in the reg office are doing births and deaths a lot of the time.
Yes.
So they need a bank of people who can just do that. So I just left work because I was going to do an Open University degree, and I was working for a charity. And then I got a bit bored, you know, thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm not at work. And I must have seen an advert somewhere. So I thought, well, I'll actually apply for doing that. Just did a quick interview. And here I am 10 years later, and probably nearly 1,000 weddings later, still doing it.
10 years. That's fantastic.
It is amazing. Yeah.
Did you have to have any qualifications then?
No, none at all.
Fantastic.
No.
Just the fact that you can speak clearly, obviously, is a huge advantage.
I suppose, yes, it is. But funnily enough, people think taking the wedding is the most important part. But the most important part really is doing the writing, because that is the legal part. The register goes in the safe forever and ever. There has to be no mistakes in it at all. And if you do make a mistake on the day, you have to cross-reference it and get people to sign it and all sorts of things like that.
Okay, so you have to
do that. And then the certificate, which they take away to say that they are married, if you make any mistakes on that, you have to put a line through and start again.
Oh.
So I find the writing quite difficult, because I'm quite a nosy person. You might be surprised about that. But, so I quite like to watch what's going on in the wedding, and you really have to concentrate if you're doing the writing, because if you do make that mistake and you have to start again, they could be waiting to take their certificate with them, and you're waiting for you to finish it, and you could be on your sort of sixth copy because you've made all those mistakes.
Oh my goodness, you don't realise how much there is to it, do you?
You don't.
And of course, everybody is there just for the moment.
Yes,
they're thinking about what you're saying.
Yes.
But they're not actually thinking about what you're doing.
No, exactly.
Otherwise,
no,
I suppose.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people who decide they want to do it think, oh, it'd be lovely taking people's weddings. But sometimes it is a bit daunting, because you go into a room with, say, 250 people, all guests, and suddenly they see you and they all stop talking and look at you. And that in itself some people find a bit daunting, because, you know, you're not used to perhaps talking in front of people or doing things like that. So, you know, it's amazing, really, the experience it does give you.
Do you ever get asked to add extra content? Is that part?
Definitely.
So you
well,
do
most
all the
of
time?
It is extra content, in fact, because you can get married in 2 or 3 minutes legally. There are only 3 things that you have to do legally. First of all, the registrar has to tell you that marriage, according to the law of this country, is the union of 2 people voluntarily entered into, to the exclusion of all others. And then the next bit is they have to declare in front of the registrar and their 2 witnesses that they are free and lawfully to marry each other. They have to declare that. Mm-hmm. And then they have to say, you know, I, whatever their name is, take you so-and-so to be my lawful wedded wife, and vice versa. And then they're legally married. So in fact, when I've done them at the reg office sometimes, they can come along in their lunch break, just do that, and then go back to work.
Oh, my goodness.
So weddings are not all that people think they are these days. It's very, very different.
And I there are people out there, obviously, that want to keep it really simple for whatever reason.
Definitely.
Keep it really simple and quick.
But often these days, people are going somewhere else to have a ceremony on the beach, or going abroad to have something, but they need to have the legal part done in this country, because that's where they're legally getting married. So it's interesting. There's even now there's things that happen which you're surprised about.
Yes.
You know, you think nearly, it must be about 1,000 later that you think, oh, no, another wedding. But there's various things that happen.
Yeah.
And you think, gosh, I could never imagine that happening in our day or whatever.
We're all so different, aren't we?
We are.
And we all want to put our own stamp on things. I think that's where weddings are hugely why they're hugely expensive as well is because we tend to put our own stamp on. Yes. I do remember my sister, it was her, she was on a second marriage, and she put raffle tickets under the chairs. And so whoever yes. drew out the winning ticket yes. Was a witness.
Oh,
and
that's
I picked that out. And I thought, what a lovely thing to do, because yes. she couldn't choose specifically anyone in the family, because they all meant as much to
yes,
her.
Yes, yes.
And I thought that was a really good idea, actually. Have you had anything like that happen?
I haven't that, but it's very easy, I think, to upset people because you haven't invited them or something, and even people who are your friends.
Yes.
And I've often had requests from people to say, can you ask the guests not to take any pictures and put them on Facebook, because, you know, if people see it and they think, oh, I didn't know they were getting married, they never invited me, and
it
can alienate, you know.
And also, actually, the photographs I've noticed in a wedding that I've been to recently, people taking photographs gets in the way of the main photographer.
Yeah, definitely.
And
they
so
do.
I completely, I actually agree with that.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
we want
I do.
To be selfish about our photographs, but I don't think we should.
No. And I mean, the other weeks, and somebody said to me, well, can you announce, I don't want any photographs taken on my way in, because I want people to look at me. And of course, people get their mobile phones out now, which they never used
yes,
to.
Yes.
And so I announced that. And the bride came in, and there were still people got their phones out and did it. So what do you do? You can only ask, but some people think, oh, I still want to take a picture and
yes.
everything.
And it is their day, isn't it?
It is.
But
yes,
I think,
it is.
So have you had anything really unusual happen that you're allowed to?
Well, I can still sort of tell people things that happened that didn't
yes.
happen in our day. I mean, one the other week... everybody, all the guests were there. The groom was at the front waiting for his bride to come in and kept looking at the watch and thinking, oh, that's strange. You know, she's a bit late or whatever. And I think people think, oh, I hope she hasn't changed her mind, as you do.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I'll go out and find out what's happened here. And I said to the people who were sort of doing the ushering, oh, is the bride okay? And said, oh, yes, she's just breastfeeding her baby at the moment. You think, oh, okay, you know, which, you know, it's fine, because at least if you had a hungry baby there, it might
yes.
start crying.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just think, oh, right, that's interesting. And then there was another one recently as well. When people often get emotional when they see each other for the first time, you know, when the bride comes up and she's wearing a lovely dress and this sort of thing.
Lovely
the groom,
moment.
Yeah, and the groom usually sort of says something to her and they get a bit emotional. But she got very emotional when he'd said this to her. Right through the ceremony and afterwards, I said, oh, is the bride okay? He said, well, not really, because he said he didn't like her dress.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, you can't say that, can you?
Well, and even if you thought it, you think, oh, gosh, if when I'd married my husband, he'd said that, I think I would have walked out, you know.
Yes.
It's very strange.
Oh, because the dress is, it's very difficult, isn't it? We
yes,
all
it
fall
is.
In love with the dress, those of us that
yes,
have,
yes, we
you
do.
Know, brought the dress.
Yes, exactly, and you think you,
yes.
you're looking your best and everything.
Yeah.
And you think, even if he'd sort of said that to her later when he'd had a few drinks and joked about it or something.
Yeah.
But to say that, it was
Cause
very
I mean,
strange.
Yeah, we all know what it's like. My dress actually came from Weybridge.
Yeah, yes. yeah.
And I remember how important it was. So, gosh, that's a funny thing to say,
isn't it? Is.
It?
It's
oh,
a very
dear,
strange.
And, then,
and people do all sorts of things now, you know, like... one of the couples said, oh, we like making each other laugh. And I thought, oh, that's a good thing. So anyway, the groom was at the front and the bride came round and he turned to face her. And he started going, sort of doing like symbols on his hand. You know, I thought, what's strange here? Then he put his hand up to his mouth as though he was thinking, wow, she looks nice. Took his hand away and he was wearing a fake moustache.
Oh, and
she just creased up laughing, thinking, you know, that's just so funny, you know.
People putting their own stamp on it again.
Yes, totally.
Do you have music?
Yes,
you
music,
have music
yes.
as well.
And the nice thing about it is you can choose music that means something to you rather than traditional stuff, you know. And it's also and readings as well. You can have, as long as they're not religious, you can have things. We've had things about all different sorts of animals. We've had dogs bringing up the rings. We've had owls flying in with rings on their feet and things. And
amazing.
An Indian chap recently said he was having his main wedding in India, but he wanted to give it a bit of a, well, an Indian theme, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so I said, what did you have in mind? He said, well, he said, I wanted to arrive at the reg office on an elephant, but I couldn't find one. You know, and I thought, Okay.
Would the floorboard support an elephant?
Yes, I know. So it's lots of different things anyway.
It sounds amazing.
But yes,
talking about having lots of different things, at the event itself, what do you think about children, young children? Because I always wanted my friends' children there. Mm. I know it's a personal thing, but from your point of view?
Well, I think children are welcome as long as they don't spoil the ceremony and make too much noise, because I think it can spoil it because you can't hear what's going on. So I think it's fine if your children are behaving, but if one of them starts making a noise, I think somebody should make them go out or take them out, really, because it's not really fair on the rest of the team, really. So that's it, really.
Is that it? Is that the end of our...
Well, I think we're getting towards the end of the programme now.
And there's so much more to find out about it.
Yes,
that's really interesting. Thank you, Alison.
That's all right. So I would like to thank all our guests today on Just Women, and also to you, Mandy.
Yes, and thank you, Al. That was really good, spending a bit of time with you. Just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone who you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll definitely get in touch with them.
And we'd really like to see them on the programme. Now, you can actually listen to the programme again on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, and then it'll be on our website. So thank you for listening, and now it's time to say goodbye from me, Alison Florence.
And it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dynley.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.